How did they sort out the place kicking in your day? I mean, you did a lot of place kicking, Russ, but I noticed there were quite a lot of games where both you and Mickey Booth were kicking.
Boothie, I think, tended to take the ones closer to the post because his eyes were not as good as mine. Put that. Now, I was given possibly the more difficult ones, because then if you missed them, I was the one that was going to get the backlash off the crowd, I think we'll put it that way. No, it was Mick was a useful little kicker, pretty close to the post.
Well, you did pretty well in 61-62. You were the leading scorer. Yeah.
Was that?
You scored 106 points for the team, being 20 conversions and 20 penalties. So that was. I haven't got the stats.
22
penalties.
Oh, right. We'll have that later.
I haven't got the later statistics, but in the years after that. But that clearly was a good year for you.
Well, you've got the facts, I haven't. And in the early days, I think my kicking was reasonable, put it that way. I don't think I'd be listed as one of the all-time great kickers they had in, but the other...
Presumably an end-on kicker in those days.
Yeah, didn't have the upright sort of stuff. And I think I was here as much as anything for line kicking, which was a big feature in those days, to gain, you know, the team territory, put it that way. And as I said, Terry Hobson and myself possibly were the two that we looked to do on that sort of basis. And you know, there were some big kickers around in those days. Roger Hosen from Northampton was very prodigious, as did the Welsh, had some very fine goal kickers. And it was, I think it was Ray Cheney from Pontypool who came. He was the one that brought in around the corner kicking, as we put it, which was a bit of a novelty factor then, but he was very successful at it. So it gave me an opportunity of playing against some great players. Good fun.
So lots of points for us, but not a lot of tries.
No, well, in those days, you weren't really looked on. Fullbacks did come in the line every now and again, but not really. You were there to kick, as I said, line kicking, on a defensive basis, really, is to cover up. It was probably more attacking football was done with kicks ahead or kicks, you know, out of hand. Which necessitated on occasions you being at the last line of defence and banging them.
So, that's what I'd imagine, that Peter Ford would probably shout at you if you weren't there to...
Exactly,
the back.
You were there, yeah. And he'd probably give me a good kicking afterwards. But no, I hope anyhow that we still have a great friendship. I think we do. We've had some fun over the years. Well, I wouldn't say fun, but we played in some good games together. And Fordy was not a real great socialiser, but the social animal as well was obviously more to the fore then than it ever is now, because you played your game. As I said, there was far more interchange, I think, between clubs than really on a social basis. And, you know, there was some very boisterous evenings as well afterwards, which was all part of the part of the fun. Got many a time with a little gang that with us, we used to stop off at Cardiff on the way, and many a time get on the milk train to come home in the mornings to see Spider Tim's and had a milk round, I remember. And we'd always used to meet. I used to walk back from the station because I didn't have any money, and you'd spend it all the night before, so we had to walk back to Stroud, bolstered by the occasional pint of milk. If you happened to meet Spider Tim's on his milk round in the morning, just gave you that little bit of a boost to get on. But yeah, the social days, Lydney's, you know, as you can imagine, going to Lydney, and God, the times I've come out with the birds twittering in the morning, and yeah, it was not conducive to modern day fitness, but it was good fun.
And I guess while we're on this theme, we might mention the end of season tours as well.
Exactly, we went. Yes, Well, the Cornish tours were, the big thing of the season in many respects. Well, it was a nice way to finish it off, put it that way. But not always the results that were required. I remember we lost to Tynmouth once down there, which didn't go down with the hierarchy too well, to be quite honest, put it that way. And some of the antics that went on in some of these hotels was things of legends, I think, put it that way. Not mentionable. In
not even at this distance.
Well, we had some fun. we did have some fun. We met a lot of very pretty young ladies, and we also met some great characters that have remained super friends forever and a day, really.
That's good.
I think my... my outlook, particularly on rugby, I think, on sport in general, but particularly rugby, I would always say rugby to me is the finest Freemasonry in the world, because it's given me, in particular, that lovely contact that you can go to, and particularly any rugby player nation, but wherever you go, it doesn't take long to find out that somebody plays rugby, and immediately
it is,
and as I say, it's that Freemasonry that is always with you, you know, and there's a very tight bond amongst those players, particularly I think the Gloucester players, as I call them, you know. I always I see Mickey McBurton on occasions up at HQ, and it was only couple of years ago that he was up there on his barbarians aspect, and I had a meeting in the East India Club, which is somewhat aloof, as you probably know from within the London scene. And Mick was in there with the barbarians entourage, and we're just coming out, and he says to one of them, it used to cost me ninepence to watch this pub play, you know, me, you know, in the old days. And I said, and it was money well spent, you know, we're having a bit of banter like that. And he's going out the door, and he suddenly turned around and he went, "Rustler." I said, "What?" He said, "Who would have thought 30 odd years ago that we'd have ended up in a place like this?" And I thought, well, that just summed it up to a nuts, really and truly. You know, there's a guy who really has been a great ambassador for rugby as a player. He cut it pretty close on occasions to get in life bans almost, I think, but he was a guy that could hold his own not only on the pitch but off the pitch as well, and is truly held in very high esteem, which is great because it's complimentary to the club, isn't it, really? And as Mick probably would agree, you know, it was from a rather harsh start off, put it that way. That he's come through to be the man that he is, and you know, has proved a point that rugby can be for all shapes and sizes, and also for a basis for you know, life's enhancement. And it's given me a lot of fun, and hopefully we'll do for, you know, a few more years at least.